Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Police investigating a fatal shooting in East Wichita. We have the story.
Harris and Trump both campaigning in Nevada. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
A teenager is dead and another teenager in critical condition after a shooting in East Wichita Thursday night near the Quick Trip at Central and Oliver. A 14-year-old boy and a 15-year-old boy showed up at a hospital with gunshot wounds. The younger boy died. The 15-year-old is in critical condition. Police Captain Chad Beard.
Officers encountered, again, numerous individuals that were uncooperative. There were several arrests made that were unrelated to the shooting itself, but in attempt to contain the scene, the officers had to make arrests.
Police are still looking for the shooter.
The fight for the White House focused on the battleground state of Nevada yesterday, with Vice President Kamala Harris making appearances in Reno and Las Vegas.
A vocal crowd at the Reno Event Center for Vice President Harris as she stayed on message.
We have an opportunity in this election to turn the page on a decade of Donald Trump trying to keep us divided and afraid of each other.
But with the election just days away, she asked supporters to keep on working.
Let us make sure that we are knocking on doors, that we are texting folks, calling folks.
Nevada's seen as a swing state, and its six electoral college votes could go either blue or red this Tuesday. Jill Nato, Fox News.
Former President Donald Trump traveled to Nevada as he continues to try to win over battleground support, with just days left in the election.
Former President Trump spoke in Henderson, Nevada, not far from Las Vegas, where an event with Vice President Harris was scheduled. As he has of late, the former president has described America as a broken country he plans to fix. He says that when that happens,
we're going to have America that's bigger, better, bolder, richer, safer, and stronger than ever before.
The former president says what he is promising with an election victory is a resurgence of the American dream. Nevada mails out all its ballots, which can be returned before or on Election Day. Gernal Scott, Fox News.
One person in custody after a brief chase ended in a crash in East Wichita last night. Highway patrol troopers stopped a vehicle for a routine traffic check, then the vehicle fled before troopers even made contact with the driver. That car ended up crashing on Rock Road after exiting from Kellogg. The car collided with two other vehicles and a power box before the suspect fled on foot. A trooper then apprehended that suspect at gunpoint. That crash did knock out power to about 1,000 Evergy customers in East Wichita for a time.
Charges have been filed against a woman accused of crashing into and killing a Hutchinson woman while attempting to get away from police in East Wichita. 24-year-old Caitlin Berrios faces multiple charges, including first-degree murder in the death of 43-year-old Mandy Buckwalter. Wichita Police Chief Joe Sullivan says it began as a stolen vehicle investigation, and officers were not chasing Berrios at the time of the crash.
We do not pursue simply for stolen vehicle, which is why they were using alternative methods like spike strips, undercover vehicles, surveillance, the air support.
Bond was set at $1.2 million.
A Pentagon watchdog says Boeing overcharged the Air Force nearly $1 million for spare parts on C-17 cargo planes.
The Pentagon's inspector general reviewed prices paid for 46 spare parts on the C-17 from 2018 to 2022. One of the most egregious items, soap dispensers, the watchdog says Boeing marked them up by nearly 8,000%. Some media reports say the Air Force overpaid nearly $150,000 for the soap dispensers. The IG's office says it found a total of 12 overpriced items. 9 seemed reasonably priced, but they couldn't determine the fairness of the prices of the other 25 items. The C-17 Globemaster is one of the military's largest cargo aircraft. It can carry multiple military vehicles or hundreds of people. Chris DeMeo, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:05, 5 minutes past 8 o'clock.
We're just a few minutes away from our live Friday morning visit with the play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. We got Mitch coming up. Don't miss it.
Do puppies and kittens make good gifts? That story and more coming up on the KNSS Morning News. The KNSS Morning News now, 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. The cold weather rule is back for the winter season. It keeps anyone who gets behind in their utility payments from getting disconnected. It will remain in effect through March 31st. Companies are not allowed to disconnect service when temperatures are forecast to drop below 35 degrees within the next 48 hours.
Soldier is now charged after a female sergeant's body was found in a dumpster at a base in Missouri.
21-year-old Wooster Rancey with the 5th Engineer Battalion is charged for the murder of 23-year-old Sergeant Sarah Roque, her body found at Fort Leonard Wood a day after she'd been reported missing. No word on who found the body, nor the suspected cause of death. Likewise, neither a motive nor whether the two were acquainted has been determined. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
A surfer in Florida is recovering from a shark bite at the same beach where he was bitten more than a decade ago.
Surfer Cole Tashman was paddling out to catch a wave at Bathtub Beach in Stuart, Florida last week when a shark came up from behind him and bit his feet. He's had two surgeries since, 93 stitches and about a dozen staples for his injuries, which included three tendons completely torn. It's deja vu for Tashman, who was bitten on the hand by a reef shark at that same beach in 2013. Tashman said, same beach, same place, same reef, same everything. A fundraising page has been created on social media, and a local surf shop is raffling off, ironically, a surfboard to help pay his medical expenses. Jack Callahan, Fox News.
Do puppies and kittens make good gifts? KNSS News took that question to Aaron Walker, president and CEO of the Kansas Humane Society in Wichita.
It is sort of terrifying to me, the idea that somebody would buy a pet as a gift and give it to one of my kids. But pets as gifts actually have a higher stick rate. They are more likely to succeed in their home.
Wow.
Just statistically than just a regular adoption, which is pretty cool.
Aaron Walker is our guest this weekend on Issues 2024, Saturday and Sunday morning at 8 on KNSS. And now it's 8:11 minutes past 8 o'clock with Steve and Ted.
Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras right now showing those traffic volumes pretty thin. Not really seeing too many problem areas. The road construction on southbound I-135, that ramp over to K-96 up at the North Junction. Really narrow ramp, and again, it's running pretty slow out there. We also have a stalled-out vehicle northbound on I-235, and that's pretty close to the ramp to Central. So watch out there. Again, that's northbound on I-235 right at Central. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
Staying dry throughout much of our Friday. Mostly sunny skies is how we'll start, turning partly cloudy late in the day just before the sun goes down. Milder high of 67 degrees during the afternoon with a southeast breeze at 10 to 20 miles an hour. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Now clear sky and 45 degrees. Weather's brought to you by the Monarch. Go enjoy that new outdoor patio at the Monarch. It's ready and waiting for you and your friends to come and enjoy the patio. The Monarch, West Douglas, in historic Delano. What's happening in Wichita this weekend? Let's check in with Jamel Halaparic and visitwichita.com.
Hey, guys. Hope you're having a great morning. We made it to Friday. Woohoo! Can you believe it's November? Isn't this crazy how fast time flies? But here we are, and we have a lot going on this weekend, so let's get right to it. First off, we have the Wichita Thunder versus the Rapid City Rush. It is the kickoff of the Thunder season. 14 players returning from last season. So it's going to be a fun bunch to watch. This will be at Interest Bank Arena all weekend long. Friday, Saturday games, the puck drops at 7:05. Sunday, the game starts at 2:05, so go check out the Thunder and let's cheer them on. Then we have Mark Normand at the Orpheum. 7 p.m. Saturday night. Jerry Seinfeld says Normand is the best young up-and-coming comic. Really funny. He's kind of known for that 2023 Netflix special, Soup to Nuts. Gained a lot of popularity. So you can see Mark Normand, the comedian, at the Orpheum, 7 p.m. Saturday night. And then it's the last chance for popular haunted houses in our area. Saturday, November 2nd. You know, we're at the end of the Halloween season, so you just have one more chance. And Sinister Souls, that's located on Harry Street between Maine and Washington, Field of Screams at Prairie Pines, Haunted Kennery at Walter's Farm and Pumpkin Patch just north of El Dorado. So if you want one last scare, go for it, guys. And you can find out all the information at visitwichita.com. We have a lot of events going on, so check it out. Have a great weekend. We'll see ya.
Thanks, Jamel, at visitwichita.com.
Yeah, she knows where the haunted houses
are.
She
does.
You were asking about that earlier.
Yeah. She just gets on her broom and flies over there. All right, Ted. It's that time of day, 8:14 on a Friday.
Yes, here we are on a Friday morning, and that means it's time for our weekly visit with the play-by-play voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, brought to you by American Ag Credit. As the Kansas City Chiefs play on Monday night at Arrowhead, hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And as always on a Friday morning, we're glad to say, good morning, Mitch.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Theodore. And I have a surprise guest.
This is Katie from Wichita, one of your biggest fans here with Mitch.
Really?
How about that? We have this segment is so popular. We now have people driving up from Wichita to be here at our live studio where I do the show. Just to be our live studio audience.
That is amazing.
They have to experience it from in amazing. So Katie,
amazing.
The amazing fan, yes, who loves your show, actually listens even beyond the segment, novel idea. But I said, where are you from? Well, I've kind of Benton, and then I move around. I get at the Andover, over to Mays, Park City. I guess she just has a trailer that just drives around. So she gets around a little bit. Anyway. Yeah. Interesting gal,
yeah.
Katie.
Thanks, Katie. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Now we have, now it'll be.
Uh-oh.
Injuries. Can you imagine patients going, we're delaying the surgery? Yeah, it's something we have. We just need to have 15 more minutes, and we'll be right there.
Yeah, Dr. Maharis and that group, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, our dirty little secret with our doctors. But anyway, Katie's here today. We have a Wichita live studio audience.
Very, very good. And, of course, so we get the whole weekend and even a change of time before we get ready for the Chiefs on Monday night back home finally at Arrowhead. Seems like they haven't had a home game for a while.
3 weeks, and it has been a while. But we get the mercurial Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which should be interesting, in Baker Mayfield. I said this on another show this morning, you know, when we played Cincinnati in the AFC Championship game and all that nonsense and coming out, and I'd just taken it for 6 months and I couldn't take it anymore. You can doubt the Chiefs, dislike the Chiefs, disrespect the Chiefs, but you're going to have to deal with the Chiefs, which has become a little bit of a battle cry of the kingdom. You really have to say the same thing about Baker Mayfield. You can hate him, but you got to respect him. It's Wes Montooth and Anchorman here because – just when you think Mayfield's gone and buried, he, like Rasputin, comes back. He leads the NFL with 21 touchdown passes. Huh. He is definitely ornery enough to win this game Monday night, so we got our hands full with Baker Mayfield.
Did he and Mahomes ever face each other in college?
You think? It's the most craziest game of college football history. 2016, and Mahomes threw for 724 yards, and Baker threw for 525, 1,300 yards passing in a single game.
Wow.
1,700 yards of total offense between those two.
Man.
66-59, Oklahoma victory. So I remember asking Pat about that a long time ago. I go, Pat, what do you remember about that? We lost.
Yeah.
We lost the game. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, I doubt if we're going to have 1,400 yards passing combined in the game Monday night, but you just gives you an idea of what's coming.
Have they faced each other in the pros?
We have in Cleveland. So he was the Cleveland quarterback in the playoffs.
Oh yeah.
It was the divisional playoff game of the COVID year, 2020. And Cleveland made the playoffs. Baker had a good year. Actually made the Pro Bowl, I think. And Chiefs had to gut it out 22-17. Pat actually got hurt in that game and had to leave. And Chad Henne had to make a couple of miraculous plays at the end. But, yeah, and we beaten him in the regular season as well. So, yeah, we face this. He's 0-2 against the Chiefs is the young lad Mayfield, who will not quit. He just keeps showing up. It's like having parties in your neighborhood, and you're like, the Mayfield's coming? I don't know. And then, here they come.
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll have a great time, and sometimes you'll have a terrible time. So that's the Mayfields.
What about the Chiefs roster? Of course, having to deal with, like many teams, injuries. You got to come up with that next person, and the Chiefs have been trying to acquire the right personnel to get them through this part of the season.
Second consecutive week with what would be considered a consequential trade. 2 weeks ago, getting DeAndre Hopkins, and I've got an awesome stat for you. Don't let me forget to give you my most awesome DeAndre Hopkins stat of the day. But then to get Josh Uche, which is less splashy, if that's even a word, but could be effective. Josh was a high draft pick at the University of Michigan when he came out and has been a good player for New England. He's just been on a lousy team. 2 years ago in 2022, he had 11.5 sacks. Ooh. And was top three in the league in quarterback pressures. I mean, he was right up there with T.J. Watt and Chris Jones and the others. And now we got him and gave him up for a sixth-round draft pick, which is like the Saturday T-shirt you buy at the garage sale. So we're okay getting him. And so another ad, another move by Brett Veach to bolster the Chiefs roster. He'll wear number 55, by the way, for those who will listen and watch. And he's going to play. He's going to be out there, and I could look for him to make a couple big plays in this game.
And another Super Bowl rematch from recent years, too, which we've had a few of lately.
Yeah, the forgettable one for us.
Yeah.
That was such a weird circumstance. COVID, the team didn't go down until actually the Saturday before the Sunday game. It was like just a regular game. Then we had the unfortunate circumstance of the Britt Reid incident on the Thursday night before. I mean, it was just super weird. We were down four of our five offensive linemen, and the Tampa Bay defense was great. That's what's interesting about this game. Some of the same characters, Vita Vea, the guy that looks like the grain elevator in Andale, he's in the middle. Then you've got Levante David from Nebraska, who's played for 13 years, all with the Bucks, and then Antoine Winfield Jr., who's a Pro Bowl safety. And yet they're near the bottom of the league and allowing 20-plus plays. This could be a week where Mahomes puts up some big numbers. By the way, it's Mayfield, so we should have numbers. But anyway, the Bucs defense is not the Bucs defense of Super Bowl 55.
We had all those the Chiefs had all those home games early in the schedule, and we knew that there was a ton of road games in the last half of the season. So nice to have a Monday night game at home, and I imagine it'll be fever pitch at Arrowhead on Monday night.
Oh, yeah. You'll feel it on the banks of the Arkansas River because the rivers will run backwards. It'll be loud and crazy. Monday night, there's all day to get ready, in quotes, if you will. And a lot of Wichita people come up for Monday night games, a ton. And so there'll be a bunch here getting crazy. It was a Monday night when the Chiefs set the Guinness Book of World Records, loudest stadium in the world, when Harry Potter showed up with his little Geiger counter. And he said, this is the loudest stadium in the world. 142.2. So it was a Monday night. So I don't think Harry's bringing his Geiger counter back, but we're going to try to break the record and beat Baker.
Today is National Jersey Day, and I'm curious to know if it's true that your favorite jersey is a number 14 New York Giant Y.A. Tittle jersey. Is that your favorite?
Guess what number I wore for the Smith Center Redmond playing high school football?
14.
Number 14.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
I even shaved my head and was bald. And had a guy.
There you go. You look like Wyatt.
Poked me in the head. And it's
get a blood
every
going.
Game. And my coach felt that way, that I was in the end zone on my knees with my head bleeding, looking down like, And my coach is like, are you still out for the team? That was kind of the feeling. But, yeah, 14.
Yeah.
I've got a Chiefs jersey, actually, name on it. 14, man, that's my number. Let's go.
I always use ketchup. Okay.
Yeah, well.
Chiefs Buccaneers.
Every year for Halloween. Every year for Halloween. How'd you know, Steve? Every year for Halloween, I dressed up as Y.A. Tittle.
Yeah. It's
How did good, you know that? I don't.
It's a good look.
He knows.
Hall of Fame.
Chiefs, yeah. Buccaneers, Monday Night Football at Arrowhead. And, of course, Mitch Holtis and the Chiefs Radio Network will have the call right here Monday night on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We must ask
how
this matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers somehow relates to Wichita State Shocker football. As part of our Chiefs, Buccaneers, Eddie Papa update, Kansas City Chiefs Monday night update.
How?
Have we got our T-shirts made yet, the how T-shirt? You read all that and then how? How in the middle of it?
Yeah.
We'll get Sean Finley to work on it. His Teradyne buddies, they'll get that done. I'll start with a question. My answer will be a question to your question, and that is, where did they get these guys? And for the Shocks, where did they get Earl Edwards? I've talked about him before, and honestly, I don't think – it's like Willie Jeffries. We kind of stopped studying Willie when he was done at Wichita State, and then you see this life that happened after.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
After that, and he became this superstar in South Carolina. That was last week. Earl Edwards was the same. Now, he had an incredible career. How about this, Steve? He got traded 11 guys. They traded for Earl Edwards and gave up 11 guys to get Earl.
Wow.
I think it was the Edmonton Eskimos because he was Canadian League for a while. But I go, 11 guys? So Earl must have been pretty good. He was. Played for the 49ers, played in playoff games. Big, no pun intended. He was a stud and a big player for him. And then played 5 times against the Chiefs in his career with 3 different teams. And was an excellent player, a great pro career that spanned a decade. But then Earl went on to become a sports psychologist. He worked for Arizona State.
Yeah.
He worked with John Cooper, the former Tulsa coach, when he was at Arizona State as a sports psychologist. But then he became the Arizona Cardinals, like player development guy. And so he had this role in the NFL of helping current and guys who were trying to get into the league. And so Earl had this amazing career. Now, unfortunately, Earl just passed away in May of this year. But in reading all of the accolades and reading his obituary and reading what people said, Earl had this amazing career, not just as a Shocker, but 10 years in the league and then a career after that. But I was just curious, where did the Shockers find him? Where did they get this guy? Guess where they found him? Tampa, Florida.
Tampa Bay, yeah.
He went for Tampa. He played in high school ball at Blake High School, I believe, in Tampa. And so I'm going, well, how'd they get him? Well, it was at the end of the Chelo Huerta regime.
Yeah.
And Chelo was moving on to take on Parsons, the school that closed. But he was leaving the Shocks. But I think before he left, he gave them a present because Chelo was huge in Tampa. That was where he was. It's where he's from. And so Chelo went there, found Earl Edwards and said, here, I'm going to leave for Parsons College in Fairfield, Iowa. But before I do, Shocks, you can have Earl Edwards, who will go on to have this amazing career in life. So there you go, boys. Go to Tampa and find some players. But you can't find them if you don't have a team. So bring it back. Bring it back.
Good stuff. We're looking forward to your call on Monday night.
Yeah.
Chiefs and the Buccaneers. Great stuff. And we say, thank you, Mitch. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Stephen, and thank you, Theodore, and thank you, Chelo Huerta, for Earl Edwards, your parting gift.
Oh, awesome. Have a great call Monday night. That's our Friday morning visit with Mitch Holtis, brought to you by American Ag Credit.
Coming up the Hannity Morning Minute, who is backing Donald Trump? That's on the way with Stephen Ted of the Morning on KNSS.
Wichita's nationally recognized Marconi Awarded radio show. This is Steve and Tad on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward here on a Friday morning, 45 degrees. The entire police force of an Oklahoma town resigns.
Not just the cops, also the chief, who posted on Facebook that the decision to resign was difficult. A spokesman for Geary, Oklahoma, says the town immediately hired an interim chief and says sheriff's deputies are responding to calls for help. But mystery surrounds the resignations. No one has publicly said why everyone suddenly quit at the same time. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
Chicago police announced additional charges against a man accused of shooting and injuring a Jewish man near a synagogue.
Chicago Police Superintendent Larry Snelling revealing Sidi Muhammad Abdelhadi now faces hate crime and terrorism charges in addition to first-degree attempted murder.
Evidence from the offender's phone indicated he planned the shooting and specifically targeted people of Jewish faith.
The 22-year-old who remains hospitalized accused of shooting a 39-year-old Jewish man walking to a synagogue, then firing on first responders. No officers were injured, but they returned fire, striking the gunman.
There's no place in our city for hatred directed towards our Jewish community.
Mayor Brandon Johnson, the victim shot in the shoulder, has been released from the hospital. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Maybe you've heard of Alaska's Fat Bear Contest. Well, now, the Bat Beauty Contest.
The Bureau of Land Management's crowned this year's winner of the Bat Beauty Contest. It's a hoary bat named Hoary Potter. The BLM posts photos of bats taken on public lands, then asks the public to vote for their favorite. Hoary Potter managed to best a Townsend's big-eared bat named Sir Flaps-a-Lot. The BLM's Emma Busk says Hoary got his title not just on Halloween, but
this also coincides with International Bat Week. So it's just a time to basically raise awareness and appreciation for bats and their vital role that they play in the ecosystem.
She says bats play a key role in the environment by eating insects and pollinating fruits. Jill Nato, Fox News.
The Kansas Humane Society in Wichita looks after the care, sheltering, and adoption of animals. KNSS News asked Humane Society President and CEO Aaron Walker, how many pets are sheltered and cared for at the facility on North Hillside at any time?
80 or 90 cats, 80 or 90 dogs. We tend to outflow about 15 to 20 animals, meaning 15 to 20 animals are adopted on a daily basis. So so the numbers can really be quite staggering. Just in the 15 years that we have been in this building, we've helped 183,000 animals.
Aaron Walker, our guest this weekend on Issues 2024, Saturday and Sunday morning at 8 on KNSS. Steve and Ted in the morning, KNSS. 8:50 here on this Friday morning. Three big things.
Three.
Shooting overnight in East Wichita. A teenager dead, another teenager critically injured.
Two.
Charges filed against a woman who rammed a stolen van into a car, killing the car's driver in East Wichita.
One.
Trump and Harris cross paths on the campaign trail again, this time in Nevada. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Things on the roadways looking pretty good right now as the traffic volumes are, you know, pretty thin and things are looking fairly good. Low end of the gasoline prices that I'm seeing right now, they're starting to dip even lower. $2.67 gallon is what I'm seeing out there in several places, kind of at the low end. I spotted that near Mays Road and Kellogg in that area. Just some $2.67 a gallon gasoline over there on the west side. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
Sunny today with a high of 67 degrees. 70% chance for rain tonight. The overnight low 53. Saturday, 90% chance for rain. Tomorrow's high, 63 degrees. Now a clear sky. Southeast wind at 13 miles per hour. 45 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. And trading underway with Wall Street. On Wall Street, all three indices were down yesterday at the close. This morning, the Dow is up by just under 350 points. S&P is up 42, and the NASDAQ is trading up 161 points. Striking workers at Boeing will vote on a new contract offer next week. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers said Thursday its members will vote Monday on the latest proposal. The union says Boeing is now offering general wage increases of 38% over 4 years. That's up from 35% in an offer that was rejected last week. The 7-week-old strike has shut down production of most Boeing airline planes.
And local business news from the Wichita Business Journal, speaking of embattled plane maker Boeing, said to be exploring the sale of some parts of its space business. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. Virginia-based defense and aerospace giant said to be exploring a move to offload its Starliner spacecraft and its unit supporting the International Space Station, according to the report, citing people familiar with the matter. Boeing reportedly not considering the sale of its units building NASA's space launch system, according to the report. That program includes massive rockets the company is contracted to build for NASA for future lunar exploration. The company says Boeing doesn't comment on market rumors nor speculation.
Recent years have seen several national food and beverage chains either land in Wichita or announce their intentions to do so. More of that occurred in 2024 with Louisiana-based Raising Cane's making the biggest splash, noting plans to open its first local restaurant on the city's west side next year. Well, this week, the fast-growing chicken finger chain shared a bit more detail on its timeline and confirmed that the location is 350 South Ridge Road, the former Pizza Hut Italian bistro space north of Kellogg and across from Chick-fil-A. A Raising Cane's representative says construction is slated to begin in December, with doors opening in summer or fall of 2025. That's local business news this morning from the Wichita Business Journal. Ted, I was able, with my family, when we were on vacation this last summer, stopped in Kansas City and actually dined at a Raising Cane. I had never heard of it, but my...
Yeah, all the other big cities have it. Now they're finally coming here.
My grandkids had knew about it and said, hey, let's try that. So anyway, we ate there. I don't recall that I was very impressed, but... You know, it's the thing to do. It's the thing to do. All right, we survived.
Well, it's not like there's a lack of chicken places.
We got a few, yeah.
Quite a few these days.
Well, today is All Saints Day. We've survived Halloween. I didn't have anybody come to my house. And, if they did, they saw that it was closed. They closed and they didn't ring the doorbell. So, anyway, you've survived Halloween. So, we're back here on the first day of November.
New month.
And the next week, we've got the national election coming up. Next week on Monday, we got Monday Night Football. We got the Chiefs playing Monday night. Wow. It's going to be an interesting week next week, Ted, all things considered.
And always is.
We'll be right back here on
this time of year.
Yeah. Today is National Family Literacy Day. And the idea is families who read together succeed together.
Okay.
All right. In my house growing up, I always had a book going. My brothers weren't that big on it, but I always had something going. I was huge on reading. And my dad was a guy, his favorite thing was, he was like Eisenhower. He liked a lot of things that Eisenhower did. He liked Zane Grey Western novels.
My grandfather loved the Western.
Zane Grey was a big deal in those days. Yeah. And those Western stories, my dad really liked those. So anyway, growing up, we had that example. I always made sure that my kids read, and they were such readers that there were times when my two kids were little, they'd go to a restaurant. And they would sit there and read books while they waited for their food to come. And people would stare like, what's wrong with those children?
How novel.
Yeah.
Pun intended. And no, now now kids just stare at their phones while they're
They look at their phones while they're waiting for the chow to show up. All right. Y'all have a great weekend. We're going to see you back here on Monday. Coming up, we've got the Glenn Beck program. And he's going to have on Danny Gokey, who is a Christian singer. There's a song out that he's going to be promoting. It's on Glenn Beck. News at the top of the hour, another tragic shooting involving a teenager killed in East Wichita overnight. And if you missed any of today's show or just want to listen again, go to the free Odyssey app. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Glenn Beck, The Dana Lash Show, and news updates all day. Stephen's Head in the Morning on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS Wichita.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.